we talk a lot about mental health here in a Just Weirdly Blended podcast, and this is definitely a time to check in with oneself and try to find some sort of balance between the billions of things that have to be done and taking care of oneself. Welcome back to Just Weirdly Blended. I am Tom.
And I'm Jesse.
We are here again for another episode of Just Weirdly Blended.
Yeah.
So, Jesse.
What's up?
Oh, go ahead. No, you were saying something.
Oh, I was going to say, we actually tried to get a video in. It was very shitty.
We did. Jesse is currently in the outskirts of Portland in Salem, Oregon. I'm still back home in the dirty Tri-Cities. And we had some funny moments. Jesse was able to climb up on a wall. I know, it sounds crazy. I guess we can still try to find that little clip. It made me laugh really hard. I wish you guys... It was a great intro. Jesse started up on a wall. I mean, like, imagine Spider-Man in the corner of a room. That's what Jesse looked like. And then he like hopped down on the bed, did some like roly spinny stuff. And then there he was in the chair.
I should have done like a elbow from the top rope. That's what I should have done. I thought about it, but then I was like, I'm going to end up breaking that bed or something.
I think you were smart not to do it. You probably would have gotten kicked out of your hotel room by now. But yeah, you're on a work trip. So you drove about, what, 6 hours away from home for this?
Salem's about a little over four hours.
Ah, yeah, a little over four. So six is a little bit of overkill.
Like I was saying, last week I was already over here.
Yeah.
Because I had to, I'll just say the story over.
Yeah, do it.
So last week I had to come here because I had to let go of one of my technicians. And, you know, that whole situation was unfortunate because, you know, I like the person. It's just, you know, job wasn't getting done, and you know, told him a bunch of times and gave him chances. I think if I have a fault, if I have one, I have many. But I'm like, I give people a lot of chances sometimes, too many.
Sure.
To the point where it like kind of hurts you, and that's kind of a bad thing sometimes.
Gotcha.
Because then they can abuse that. You know, if you're like super nice, you know.
Yeah.
People end up abusing that because they're like, well, they won't do nothing.
Sure. Yeah. And then you can get more angry. Yeah. So you were talking before. Sadly, we lost the footage. But you were talking about being in an uncomfortable situation. It's not very comfortable to have to let somebody go.
Oh, no, dude. I was like nervous. I don't like conflict. I'm not thinking that they were going to like beat me up or anything, but
yeah.
It was just like, I like the person as a person. I really like them.
Right. And being this time of year, it's a hard time of year.
Oh, I remember asking Alicia, I was like, you know, cause I told her what was going on, that I was going to have to do this. And I was like, is it fucked up that I got, you know, this Christmas? And she was straight up. She was kind of, but it's like, she goes, it is, but it's also, you have to do this. This is something you got to do, you know,
right.
It's not like, and she knows the situation. She's like, you gave this person so many chances.
Yeah.
Like, more than they need, more than they deserve. Right.
Sure.
But it was uncomfortable, man.
The whole four hours, for sure.
I thought about how am I going to say it? You know, I have a whole conversation in my head, and when it came time to like say it, it didn't sound as good.
Yeah.
It sounds like just like,
but I warned you, you're done. You're fired. Go.
Yeah. I made it quick. It was like a 2 minute conversation, maybe.
Well, that's kind of good though, right? I mean, wouldn't it be worse if you like dilly dallied around it?
Yeah. Tyler helped me, my boss. He helped me a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just don't say sorry and this and that. And that made me think, like, damn, I say that a lot. I'm sorry.
Sure. And what do you have to be sorry for?
I know. That's what I mean.
She should have done her job. You warned her. She knew. She knew what was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it was, when I tell you, like, I'm in a mess, it's, I actually think she, like, I think she was going through some stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of wish I could have helped her in that way, because she, like, had, like, she hoarded a lot, like legit, not like, you know, how we loosely use that term.
Sure.
Like, oh, I'm a hoarder, you know, when in reality, you're more like maybe a pack rat.
Yeah.
I think she legit was, though, because it was like the office was really, really bad. And then the car was bad.
Hmm.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, after unpiling and cleaning out and doing this stuff, I started realizing, okay, I felt justified in why, you know?
Sure.
I didn't feel as bad after a while, because I'm like, dude, this is a lot of crap I'm dealing with right now. Like a job that didn't get done. But, you know, sometimes that happens. But I think it's a good thing to be uncomfortable, though.
Yeah.
Because, like we were saying, like, when you're in those uncomfortable situations and you have to be in those uncomfortable situations, like, that's either going to make you or break you, kind of thing, you know? Are you going to, like, fold? Or are you going to, like, you know, this sucks, but you got to step up and you got to kind of, like, you know, as they say, man up and
right.
Just, you got to go with it. Yeah, it sucks, you know, and I took it like that. You know what? I know this sucks, but in the back of my head, I kept just saying, not even the back, just right there. I just was like, well, no, this, I kept telling myself the reason, you know?
Right.
And yeah, you know, and I talked to her and she cleaned her office out, like what she, the stuff she had, and I helped her to the car and helped her load stuff. So I wasn't like weird. It was just where she knew I felt bad. Cause I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie, afterwards, I still felt bad. I'm sitting here watching her clean her office, bro.
Just miserable look on your face. Chugging Pepto-Bismol.
She's like, it's fine, Jesse. It's fine. And I'm like, I know. It's just sucks. I didn't say sorry, but I was like, you did that.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually really made sure not to say that word. And then,
good for you. That's good.
But I was just like, but then after a while, it was taking a while. I was like, can we hurry up?
Yeah. Cause you had to wait to escort her out.
Yeah, dude. It took like an hour.
Jeez.
It was, bro. It was crazy. I can't even explain to you guys out there in the world the mess it was. It was crazy. Yeah, the clinic I started when I started working out there last week, I got a lot done. I cleaned out the office. It looks like a whole new office. And they were like, oh my God. You know, I so many people, you know, I've never seen the floor or stuff like that.
Yeah.
They were saying that even yesterday and today they were saying that. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Huh.
You know, I just keep telling them, we'll get you taken care of.
Yeah.
Which brings me up to, like, I'm a customer service person and I kind of miss doing that. But now that I've been doing it, like, for a good solid couple weeks now, oh my God, bro. I don't want to talk to people after work.
Sure.
I go to a store, you don't want to do anything, you know what I mean?
Yo, I totally get it. Yeah, when you talk all day long, you just get worded out, you know?
Yeah, and I just kind of want, so afterwards I come back to the hotel room, cry in my loneliness.
And, hold yourself.
Yeah, I went shopping. Yeah. I went shopping last week. I went to Leo's place. He got his own place.
Nice. Yeah, because he's in that area, right?
He's actually like an hour away.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's in they call it Happy Valley, Milwaukee, something like that.
Mm.
So it's like Clackamas.
Okay.
So it's about an hour.
Okay.
Anything, it's so weird how Portland is, though.
Yeah.
Everything's far away.
Yeah.
It takes forever.
Right.
And it takes forever.
And a lot of traffic.
But, so I got to see his new place, which is cool. He all had someone over.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. You know,
just crashing his party.
But no, I mean, it was cool because it's his own place, his very own place kind of thing. It's just him. And
that's cool.
It actually made me think of something about, like, that I was going to bring up for the podcast, like, in person.
Uh-huh.
No?
Yeah.
We can now. It's just, I wanted, like, I was telling Alicia, you know, like, I'm proud of him, you know, that he's, like, you know, got his own place. He's kind of getting his shit together earlier than I did, you know what I mean? And it might not be, like, the dream job or any of that stuff, but the fact that he's, you know, he has this mindset of this is what I want and I'm working to get it.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, I, like I said, I was telling Lisa, I was, you know, I'm proud of him, but, and it made me think about, like, sometimes those words you leave unsaid, you know, and the effect they can have on someone.
Yes.
Or just the effect, because there's a lot of times there's things I want to say, but I just don't know if it's an awkward thing. And that's what I was telling her. I was like, I don't know if that'd be awkward if I said that to him.
But right. Because he's your stepson and he's 22, he's like 24.
Today's his birthday. Today's his 24th.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Liam.
Nice. Happy birthday, dude.
Yeah.
He was on the podcast years ago.
Yeah. Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Two Christmases ago.
Yes.
That's how long we've been doing this.
I know. Yeah, we started September 11th, 2020. Is that when we started? 2020?
Yeah, third, fourth Christmas?
Or 21. No, 20?
I don't know,
bro. It's been a little over 2 years. I'm very proud of us. We have we've been reached out to. I don't remember if we mentioned this last time, but we have some new folks that I think are going to be joining us for a few podcasts here sometime.
I think we had mentioned it, but we didn't mention like that we'd be getting guests. Like because at that time, I don't think they were like.
We weren't official yet. Yeah, no, we're in talks with a publishing company that knows some guys out there kind of helping dads and whatnot, kind of the stuff that we do. So we're going to be getting in touch with them and branching out a little bit more, which is pretty exciting. About a year ago, we did a show with Rich Haler, and that was really cool. So this is like our second opportunity to branch out a little bit more. We have kind of our go-to people that pop in and out from time to time, and it's kind of fun to expand that to new people that we don't know. And,
it's like being in that uncomfortable situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is definitely a growth opportunity for us from where we started. I know we've mentioned this before, the nerves of starting to record something before compared to now, you know,
I'm more nervous to talk to people I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm not as nervous. I'm not that nervous now.
Yeah, it helps quite a bit. And having that confidence, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's people that would talk crap about us. But so far, we haven't had any negative comments. And we've had, you know, people reaching out, which is, even if it's only a few people, I mean, it's way cooler of an outcome than I really anticipated in the beginning. You know, to be 2 years in, we talked about how this is kind of like a life lesson, I guess, but in anything, everything doesn't just hit right away. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes work and sticking with it. And here we are 2 years in. It feels, I don't know how you feel. I feel like we haven't been doing this that long. And here we are with, you know, people kind of reaching out to us and wanting to collaborate with us and work with us. And that's a really cool feeling, even if it's only a few people here and there. It's just
neat. How we're gonna grow, you know.
Yeah, that's what I think. And we have some audience members who've been with us from the very beginning, the old days of our crappy equipment and not having a clue what we were doing, although we probably arguably still don't know what we're doing. But
I think us trying to do that video kind of proves that.
Yeah, well,
no, actually, that wasn't us though. That was like either the connection where I'm at,
that's the internet. That's the internet. This is going to be kind of a short. We're just going to keep it pretty short and straightforward. It's just going to be an audio release, and then we're going to try to get together this holiday weekend and throw out a regular video podcast. It's a little easier when you're actually here in the room because we can play off each other a little bit better.
I know there's an energy.
Yeah, for sure. But No, I'm super excited tonight. And that's why I wanted to do this, even if we're not able to, you know, even video conference or whatever.
Yeah, I think sounds better than nothing sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I'm in the zone. We started winter break today, so I'm off for 2 weeks working on baseboards, painting that shit, getting it stapled to the wall. I think I broke one of my nail guns because I thought it was a different gun.
Dude, if you need help, I'm off all next week.
Nice. Yeah, I'm trying to get this stuff close to the tile floor we have done so that we can caulk it. Big things happening in the farmhouse.
I know. I want to start like tearing my kitchen up, I think.
Yeah.
When I'm off.
Yeah. See, these are the fun adult things that we talk about, which actually rolls me into something that I was thinking about wanting to bring up because I love this time of year. I'm so stoked between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean,
dude, I love Christmas.
Just like the happy time, right? Like there's just so much joy for whatever reason. It's like, you know, whatever it is, the people or the excitement, the energy, the kids, whatever it is, it's an exciting time. But as we become adults and deeper into our adulthood, it is also absolutely one of the most stressful times.
And,
you know, I mean, it's like I forget every year just how much goes into making a holiday season work. You know, at my job, it like doubles down on the workload because of all the things you have to think of and plan and figure out. At home,
you guys are doing a party at the house.
Yeah, we do the Christmas Eve party, which I absolutely love. Blanc is always nervous ahead of time. She's definitely more socially uncomfortable than I am. I don't know what the word is, but more hesitant socially. But she always enjoys it once we get the party going. It's always like beforehand that she gets kind of anxious. But she's held it together really well. She's doing a good job. And we've got the house looking better. We got the floors in. We've been working our asses off for the last few months. But all those things compound, you know. And we talk a lot about mental health here in a Just Weirdly Blended podcast. And this is definitely a time to check in with oneself and try to find some sort of balance between the billions of things that have to be done and taking care of oneself.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do. I don't know what the answer is, but
well, it's funny you say that because I don't know if it's the traveling or the fact that I'm like changed up. Feels like my job changed up. I don't know what it is, right? But lately, I've been feeling like you were saying, you're feeling the zone and all that, right?
Yeah,
that's how I feel. Like nice. I feel like I've been in the zone. Like I feel like. I was just saying, I feel happier now than I don't know.
It's that's been awesome. Years like new energy, right? New life force.
Like
you.
Not only like what's going on with work, but like with myself. I feel good about myself.
That's great.
It's been a hot minute, you know, like, and so this time of year, like I don't feel as stressed, even though I'm stressed.
Yeah.
I just keep reminding myself like, no, man, I'm in a good headspace right now. I'm like, I'm going to enjoy this for
absolutely
the moment it's there.
Yeah.
Although I almost racked it. I racked my head earlier.
You almost knocked yourself out, but
I know. Luckily there was a doctor.
That's funny. But look,
Alicia, I was telling her and she was like, so what I hear is some bitch is trying to.
I think like, you better take your pants off so I can check you out. I don't know.
You know, I was like, man, I just hit the side of my temple.
I don't know what that has to do with my butthole, but okay.
But no, I.
Oh, man.
They glued my head shut. So I'm
the oh, top of man. My head. My favorite joke you made. You're not allergic to silver, are you? Well, not, I'm not a werewolf anymore. So,
yeah.
For those of you who have not seen the old episode, Jesse, when he was about six, seven,
seven or eight,
warned mean kids on the playground that he becomes a werewolf and then proceeded to become a werewolf in front of their very eyes.
Yeah, no, someone pissed me off and I became that werewolf, man. Chased him and everything.
Not weird. I love it.
I wonder how much of you believed I was a werewolf.
I don't know. I wonder how many of them still talk, like, get together and say, hey, remember that guy Jesse?
Remember that weird ass
that day that he became a werewolf on the playground? Do you remember that?
Dude, that's so funny.
God, oh, that's great. Fucking... That is so great.
But, you know, that's kind of funny, though, because it's weird how there's these people that enter your lives that they have this idea of who they think you are based off, like, a one encounter, right?
Right.
So that first encounter, like they say, you know, like, first impressions, like, sometimes that's all they need, that little bit, and then they either think you're this weird person or you're a dick, or you're the nicest guy, but you could be the biggest dick in the world, but they think you're such a nice guy.
Do you think that it impacts the way that we behave? I mean, like, I kind of think, because I've been in there, like, if I'm nervous, I'll joke way too much, and then I can come across as kind of like, you know, a funny idiot type or whatever. And then sometimes I can be really serious, and I found myself in different circles, stuck in different sort of personality expectations, where it's like you kind of get typecast.
I think it's a thing where you play to the crowd you're around. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Like your energy, you can feel like that energy. Like, you know what? Like for me, when I go around to clinics or I'm like talking to users, there's just certain people that I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't even joke with them. You sure. know?
Right.
They're going to be so offended.
Right.
But then there's others, like, I'll face them off the wall shit, and I've never met them. It's just, you can tell that they would joke around.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes you got to make lighthearted of, like, situations. And that's kind of what I do when I go and I talk to people.
Right.
Yeah, I'll just joke with them.
Yeah, I've been having a blast with a lot of people that I work with. I've joined a few, what do they call them? Committees or whatever. And I've really come out of my shell in the last few years. Like, I felt, I felt not comfortable doing that for a while. You know, we had COVID going on and a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And I did not come out of, I mean, I feel great about it because I've really kind of let loose. People have seen my real personality and gotten to know, like, I joke around a lot, and so it's fun. It's very much like I feel more, way more connected to everybody, and I think people enjoy me being around, which is nice.
Well, I think it makes the workplace, like, that much better. That's kind of something I miss, is, you know, working at home primarily. Like, I don't have that, like, work environment feel where I, you know, you can talk to your colleagues and joke around and,
right,
you know, talk about work related stupid things or, you know, sometimes life events or whatever, who knows.
But right,
it's crazy. Oh, dude, I was over in I got some pretty a couple funny Portland stories. One's funny and one's just weird how we talk about how people, like, can feel your energies and they act a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, so I was getting ready to head out or I was going somewhere, but there is this guy who worked for McKesson. His name is Wayne. He was delivering some boxes and he's like, you know, can you let me in? I'm like, oh yeah. Here, you know, come on in, you know, let's get these boxes in, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, and I just, hey, how you doing? What's going on? And, you know, and he was like, bro, told me everything. He married for 22 years. His wife just came and told him that they were, like, she doesn't love him and that she wants a divorce, you know?
Wow.
And he was like telling me all this stuff and he's like, I don't know what to think. Like, no, man, I've been there, you know, I've been divorced, but, you know, my situation's a little different, you know?
Yeah.
And, but he was like, no, I've been texting her doing this stuff and she's like, gets upset and I just don't know what. And I was like, if I'm going to be honest, man, I don't text her, just leave her be, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, I know as hard as that's going to be, just that sometimes in those situations, I go, you got to, like,
give her space.
She doesn't want you to text her. It sounds like, just don't. I mean, and if anything, that's going to make her kind of, wait, why isn't he texting me no more? Are you know what I mean?
Right.
There's going to be that other effect where it's like, shit,
Yeah.
I kind of miss talking to him, or, you know.
Right. Yeah. Human mentality is pretty funny. The more available you make yourself, the less attractive you seem.
Exactly.
So screwed up, but it's yeah, true.
It was just so weird that he came out and was like, he spilled his guts. Like, he had just, this is recent. And I was like, oh man, I'm sorry. And then I was like, ugh. And then my dumb ass, have a good Christmas.
Tell the family I say hi.
So, yeah, I'll try. I was like, no, man, you know, you're good. You know, I just hope you have a really blessed Christmas. And just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, truly, it's yeah, Christmas Day is not an easy day if you have stuff like that going on.
I know.
So
yeah, they were together like 22 years and had a kid or two together.
Yeah.
She told me so much stuff. Like, so I thought that was weird, but you know, that seems to happen to at least to me a lot, where people will tell me like this random stuff.
Just kind of open up to you.
They're like, he looks like he won't listen. I'll talk.
I have the same thing happen. It's just 6 and 7 year olds all day long. So
those stories got to be entertaining sometimes.
They are. It's especially when they're all mad at the other kid, but they're doing the same thing the other kid's doing and not seeing why the other kid's all so mad. It's like, okay, that's pretty much my daily workload is just trying to teach and kids angry at each other and like refusing to work it out and needing my help to mitigate.
Facilitate. Okay, here we go, kids. No, this is why it's bad.
Yeah. I feel like Judge Judy half the time. Like, no, you let them talk.
No, you're Sammy the Bull.
Sammy the Bull. No. I don't want to hear you.
Can you see him?
Shut your fucking mouth. Oh man.
Mr. Gravano.
I want to see I want to see instead of a kindergarten cop, it's a kindergarten mobster.
Right? Like he has to like
it's not a fucking tumor.
That'd be so great.
Oh my god, with Sammy the Bull. Yeah, Mr. Gravano, welcome to the school.
We're going to make some changes around here.
Mr. Gravano, do you know where the extra milks went?
I know. He's all selling them out the back door.
He's got the little kids out running around pulling rackets all over the schoolyard. Oh, God.
That'd be great.
All right. I hear Joey brought a lot of lunch money today. Go out and get that. Oh God, that'd be pretty wonderful.
It would be funny.
But yeah, I was starting to like think lately, you know, I was talking earlier in the year about like, you know, maybe leaving teaching at some point or whatever, and I'm Blanc is very excited about that. She wants me to leave teaching a lot because of the amount of time that you put into it. A lot of people think it's not extra time, but there's a lot of off the clock time that goes into it.
Well, I was gonna say there's a lot of time you put into it that you don't. It's free.
Yeah, right. And it's just one of those fields, like, you know, and there's a lot of fields like this where if you're it's going to be done well, you just have to do it. There's not enough hours in the day to make it work, you know, especially like I was, you know, we did a holiday party and there's just a lot of work you have to put in for that. But what are you going to do? Let 6 and 7 year olds go without that experience? You can't really do that. So
you don't believe in Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, if he ever needs a Scrooge over there, like, you know, fucking Sammy the Bull over there. Nah. This is not Christmas in this place. We're here to learn.
No, Sammy the Bull would have a lavish one, though.
He would. There would be champagne and
little juice Kool-Aid. Yeah. It'd be just perfect for the kids, but it'd be over the top.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful. Like a petting zoo.
Do you think you want to? So, are you feeling like you're meant to be teaching though?
Well, I think, because like it really is a rewarding field. I mean, I can't see myself enjoying aspects of a job as much as I enjoy aspects of this job. Or like, you know, that feeling that you get of doing something meaningful.
Oh.
So, that part, I don't really want to leave. But it is kind of that work-life balance. There's some, you know, realities there. I've got to try to navigate a little bit. But I've been thinking about maybe moving into like a middle school social studies kind of job, maybe doing, you know, like my, I have a love of history and those things. And so I was like, maybe I'll look into that. Maybe, I mean, I like where I'm at. I have no problem where I'm at.
No, you know, sometimes, yay, uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, you know, just like sometimes maybe it's time for a change, but I want to stick it out at least another year where I'm at. And like I said, I really enjoy who I work with. I like the school. I like the kids.
I think that's just there's a season of change, you know?
Yeah, there's a point where it's like, okay, you know, I'm ready for something different. And my cousin and I work together. She is in the classroom next to me. We share a door between our two classrooms. So it's kind of like a dream come true for us because we grew up really close. But they're doing district boundary changes. And so that could change teaching staff depending on how many kids we have. So the thing that we're nervous about is that she's going to get moved. And if she gets moved, then for me, it's like, well, you know, if we can't work together anyway, then I might as well look around and see what else there is. Yeah. But I think it'd be kind of interesting because I went from teaching special education to teaching first graders. So I'm kind of curious what it's like to teach older kids that have, you know, a different, like more
set of behavior and they're a little more
right, where I can have them attend to some of the work and check in with them versus having to be so on top of everything all the time. And I don't mean it that way because like to teach well, you've really got to be involved in every step of the way. But
no. If anybody who has kids knows young kids.
You kind of know the difference, right, between a first grader and a sixth grader, right? There's a different way that you have to approach and work with them. And I know now how to work with, you know, little first graders and I love them. They're great. But I'm curious what it would be like to work with older kids where you can have more, I don't know, you can just give them more to work with and see what they can do. You can do with these little guys, but it's a little more limited.
I do think there needs to be like good teachers in like a middle, like everywhere, obviously, but middle school is a good, that's a change in hormones. That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, well, it's just a rough time for kids. I hated middle school.
Having a good teacher like that would, I don't know. I feel like you'd be a good middle school teacher. I could see it.
I hope so. I love the content. You know, like that's like my jam is the history stuff. So I think, you know, I like the stuff I'm teaching now. For one thing, like I now really know what I'm teaching. And it's a lot of heavy stuff in first grade. I was blown away when I first started teaching. I'm like, holy crap. Like, oh, man, it's nuts.
No, I think it's good. I think positive influences sometimes go a long way. And I think, I don't know. I can see the middle school thing going.
Yeah. Really can. So we'll see what happens. The kids are going to Horse Heaven, one of our local middle schools next year. Not next year, the year after. However the hell old our kids are. So I asked Elliot, I'm like, hey, you want me to like Mr. Feeny it and just move up every time you go to a new school? I'll just go teach there. And he had no idea who I was talking about. And, you know, but I was like, man, I could be like the real life Mr. Feeny, just follow my kid every school. Now, it wasn't his kid, it was a neighbor kid, but still, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. So. You know, I had like a proud moment as a parent.
Yeah.
I guess so. There's this kid down the street named Archie. He's new, and he's tried to come over to play with JJ a few times, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess some kids were being dicks to him on the bus. They were like being bullies. And JJ kind of could hear some of the conversation. And they were like saying mean shit. Like, someone get this like fat fuck away from me. You know, like shit like that, you know?
Wow.
Like, you know, they were mean. And so JJ, after they get off at the same stop, again, JJ was like, told him, like, gave him a hug and was like, I hope I hope you're okay. And, you know, like, was like being like this big person to him. Like, hey, I just want you to know, you're like, don't listen to them. They're stupid. And you know, basically like, I'm sorry that you had to go, you know, hear that they're fucked up kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I thought that was pretty, I was pretty proud of him for, you know, just doing that. Like, no one asked him to. He just did it.
Yeah. It's amazing the feeling we get as parents when our kid does something like that.
was like, God damn, kid, I'm proud of you.
That's Elliot had a similar situation earlier in the year. A kid that used to be his buddy and now he doesn't go to the school. He, things are being said about him, and he actually told the kid saying it, how would you feel if somebody said that about you? And then the kid like shut him down and was rude to him. So he was pissed. He came into my room like in tears, like so pissed at that kid. I was like, bro, I am so proud of you that you had the guts to say to somebody that.
Like, shut the fuck
up. Yeah. I mean, like, he pretty much told the guy to shut the fuck up. I'm like,
I'm
really proud of you for that. Same type of thing. You just like, you look at your little guy and it's like, you have learned some things. You have some character. Yeah. There's a lot to be proud of.
I don't know. It kind of justifies. It's kind of like when we go going back to the thing, it kind of gives you that justification that you're doing something. You're doing something right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Not a total screw up.
Like, damn, I guess I'm not a bad parent.
Yeah.
Or was that because of Alicia? Fuck.
Yeah.
I had a moment that made me like realize that I was good at my job. I was telling Lisa earlier, like, dude, I'm not gonna lie, but I'm kind of good at this. But like helping customers, like, I don't know, it's just something I've done forever. Anyway,
yeah.
I took care of a bunch of people last week and got a lot of things completely like taken care of that they've been waiting months.
Yeah, you were saying that. Lots of tickets and things that were just sitting there.
Yeah, do easy stuff. Anyway, I get it all knocked. I get a lot of it knocked out. I'm still trying to like mingle through everything, but I get an email from, we use this thing called a company shout out.
Uh-huh.
So like anybody can be like, hey, I just want to give so-and-so a shout out. They were so cool. You know, they rocked my world or whatever, stupid, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So the supervisor for the WIC department here, he sent me a shout out. So it like goes out to the company.
Yeah.
The company email. And I was like, oh, that's, it made me feel good. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, because being a technician is like the most thankless job.
Sure.
In the IT world. You're getting reamed because something's not working. It's not even probably your fault.
Yeah. Know. But it's your fault because you're the one there to deal with it.
Yeah, we're right there in the person's face. And so the help desk and like techs, we're like, you know, you don't get a lot of appreciation. So when someone shows you that, like it is a great feeling. It just makes you feel like, okay. You know, we do this for a reason. It might not be as fulfilling as like helping the kid's life, but you know, I mean,
no, hey, that it's all relative. I mean, truly, whatever gives you that sense of purpose and satisfaction, you know, it's no different. I mean, if you make hamburgers and you put everything you have into making the best hamburger and somebody just needs that hamburger that day and they have it and it's perfect and it turns their day around. Hey,
yeah,
you know, that's where you were supposed to be. You know what I mean? Yeah, if you're like the best mobster and you just, you know, anytime somebody gives you shit, you can just be like, hey, nah. You know, I mean, we all have our purpose, our calling. So
you're right. You do. I think I'm supposed to be nice to people.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't.
That's.
Although sometimes. So before we go, so one of the rumors. So I had a. Okay, let me start over. I had a provider come to me, and he goes. He introduced himself, whatever, and then he goes, "Hey, can I ask you a question?" And I'm like, "Sure." And he's like, is it true that there was a gallon of milk in her office when you were cleaning it out? And I'm like, I laugh because I go, no. I was like, he had a gallon of milk like in the fridge, and it was in the hallway because it wasn't like a nasty gallon of milk. But I told Alicia, I should have told him no, but when I was cleaning it out, I did find a couple dead mice.
Yeah, right? Did you?
No.
Oh.
But I should have told him that, and I told her, I go, I could have said that in such a straight face too, you already know. And I know I would have just left it at that, and you know, it would have been funny years from now go by, and then you know the story goes, this guy found like a family of mice living underneath the
office. I know, right? The whole office was full of mice.
The most Oregon thing happened to me. This will end. This is a good one.
All right.
I'm filling up my gas I stop at a gas station. If you know, Oregon does not typically, they just started being able to pump their own gas at certain gas stations.
Yeah.
Right? It was, other than that, they had an attendant that would do it. Well, I go to this one that is, you know, self-service, and obviously Washington, I already know what to do. I start pumping my gas, and this guy next to me goes, "Hey," and I was like, "Yeah." He's like, will this pump stop on its own?" Because he had it, just, you know, you lock it to like run.
Right.
To fill up your tank. And he's like, "Is it going to?"
He's afraid to let it go. Yeah.
No, he was leaving it like locked, but he was like, "Oh shit, is it going to just keep going and not stop?" You know? And I was like, "No, it'll click once it's done. It'll click." And
yeah, it's a pretty self-explanatory job, honestly. For years, Oregonians thought Washingtonians were geniuses. We had to operate the gas pump.
It made me laugh. That was going to be something I was going to bring up to the podcast this last Sunday.
Uh huh.
Yeah. But I forgot I was in that golf tournament. But yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all we can end on there. But yeah, so Oregon.
Well, hey, I love that we tried to do a little video cast. That didn't quite work, but I think doing it over the phone worked pretty well. So we're learning, we're growing, we're putting ourselves out there. Hopefully great things to come. We are very excited to bring some new possible content leads to you guys, possibly even a little endorsement deal coming up. So we'll give you guys more on that in time. It's a very exciting time for the Just Weirdly Blended family, and we appreciate all of you who are along for the journey.
Our Nikes are coming. We're going to have our own shoe endorsement.
Yeah, Nike called the Air Barums and the Air Barbers. Limited editions. No, maybe not that. But anyway. Yeah. Well, good to talk to you, my friend. We'll see you in a few days, and you guys have a great rest of your week.
All right, brother.
All right. See ya.